Recorded Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, year two to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bach along with Kevin Overland, Dakota Pharmacy, Dakota Natural Health Center, downtown Bismarck's corner drugstore. And, you know, recently we talked about oral health. Well, we've got a little extension of that we're going to review this morning because exciting news. You now in the store have, okay, the cool way to say it is it's what the astronauts use.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a Dentaloo branded product. I've gotten to know a Dr. Arash out of Los Angeles. So it's through his company that I've secured these. They're called Advanced Gum Health. And last week we spent the program talking about oral health and how critical it is to our overall health. And at the end, I started to throw a word called protectant out there. These are a little different, but the science behind these is magical. This Dr. Emily Stein that I've gotten to know, I think she's a genius, to be honest with you.
Well, let's back up a little bit and talk about the Advanced Gum Health. So it says gums, but it's whole oral mouth care because, again, it's what the astronauts use. You don't just brush your teeth in space because you get toothpaste everywhere.
Right.
This is what they use.
Yeah.
So back up a little bit and tell a little bit about the methodology behind this.
So Dr. Emily Stein, she founded the formulation in relationship to her grandmother. She went to visit her grandmother in a nursing home, and she was in a memory care unit suffering from Alzheimer's. And she hadn't seen her for a while because she was out in Stanford, and I think she's from the Midwest. She went to school in Iowa. So I think she came back to the Midwest to visit her grandmother. And she was really taken back by the health of her grandmother's mouth because with her memory problem, she wouldn't allow anybody to brush her teeth, and she wouldn't do it herself. So she had been through months of no oral care for the most part. And Dr. Stein's a microbiologist. She has a PhD in microbiology and immunology, and she just felt that my world is bugs and trying to control them, and I need to try to figure out something that will help people like my grandmother, because the biofilm and the bacteria infection in her mouth was out of control. And she knew she had to try to do it in a means that was acceptable to somebody like somebody with Alzheimer's. And in 2010, she began screening what are called generally recognized as safe ingredients by the FDA to search for a combination that was effective and safe to consume. In what her goal was, like something that we can sprinkle on food, so it's consumed as part of their regular daily life. And it took her a while, and 14 patents later, her studies have shown that Fosident, which is a trademark patent of hers, the ingredients, it addresses things like the acid production, biofilm production, and stops the growth of disease-causing bacteria that's associated with gum disease, but also things like cavities and bad breath. Last week, I threw out...
That was kind of just stumbled into as a byproduct.
And she really... The generally recognized as safe and effective... She was really dealing with outside of the drug market. She was looking to develop what she felt was a lot more natural way to chemically induce these bacteria and the things that cause oral health and gum disease, and the biofilm especially, to try to destroy. So again, it took her a while, but the research that she's done, and I've had the opportunity to meet her three or four times through Zoom meetings, and she's a smart lady, man. This gal is, she's amazing. And during her research, she gained a real understanding of how severe the oral care crisis is in the United States and around the world. So her company, Primal Health, is a biotechnology company with the goal of improving public health by developing groundbreaking supplemental dental hygiene products. And this is really one of the shining, I think it's a shining moment for her company. But she's doing a lot of research. She's looking at the development of a chewable toothpaste.
Really?
Her one of her goals is, do we really need a tube of toothpaste? Can't we chew on something and then put the brush in the mouth? She's pretty
okay.
Cool.
Every parent who's ever fought their kid brushing their teeth before they go to bed, it's okay. That's a little different. Attack pattern.
Oh yeah,
there. That might work a little bit better.
Yeah, she's thinking outside the box in this oral health thing.
Well, and where this started with the sprinkle stuff, you know, one of the things I deal with because you know I've got my dogs and in trying to get them and anybody who's tried to brush a dog's teeth. Now there's things you sprinkle on their food that can help with the gum health, same as this.
Yeah. I
mean, it's down the same road.
It is, and it took me a while to secure the lozenges because there's a great demand for them. And working through Dr. Arash and his Dentaloo company seemed to be the most efficient way to do it. Primal Health is really a research company. Dr. Emily has left Stanford, and she now lives in Minneapolis, and she's trying to monetize her research and continue her research. But I got these, and right behind this is coming a product called Teef, T-E-E-F, which is for dogs and cats, and it's
perfect.
It's really a powder you just throw in their drinking water to improve their oral health. And some of the visual evidence that I've seen in my conversations with Dr. Stein is she's seen dogs with terrible, terrible looking gums, and
I've got an older dog that I scale weekly.
Yeah.
And it's just an uphill battle.
Yeah.
And I've tried some of the different products that are out there, and nothing's really working. I'm really excited for Teef to come out.
I'll get you some as soon as I get it, because I do have some ordered.
We're talking with Kevin Oberlander, Dakota Pharmacy, Dakota Natural Health Center, downtown Bismarck's Corner Drugstore. It's what the astronauts do. We'll talk more about that when we come back. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk. Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, you're tuned to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bach, along with Kevin Oberlander, Dakota Pharmacy, Dakota Natural Health Center, downtown Bismarck's Corner Drugstore. And we're talking about advanced gum health, so a little continuation of our conversation on oral hygiene. Okay, I'm reading the lozenges, and it's what the astronauts use. And this is how they brush their teeth in space. No animal testing, gluten-free, GMO-free, vegan for those that are concerned about that, sugar-free, dentist-approved, and made in the USA. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking about the applications for this. So if you're on the go, busy, you know, you should brush your teeth after every meal. That's what this is for.
Yes.
Yep. So you've got a business luncheon, then you got to run to a meeting. That's what this is for. This is brushing your teeth without the toothbrush. Not to say you shouldn't use a toothbrush or your traditional forms of oral hygiene, but this is a supplement. That's even what it says on
right,
here.
Right.
It's a supplement. This is how to bridge that gap and get better oral hygiene.
So the dental community that I know, and even Dr. Stein, talk about you brush your teeth in the morning, you break up some plaque, you might destroy some bacteria. By the time you're walking out the door, it's almost all back. We talked last week about the mouth being an incubator. It's moist, it's warm, there's food in there. These bugs, they grow rapidly. They they team up. You know, they form this biofilm, which really is the start of plaque and gum disease. But the critical thing about that is these bacteria then escape into our body. We swallow them, we breathe them in. They're hard on our heart, they're hard on our brain function. So her research on this, and the original patent that she had, the product is trademarked. It's called Fosident. And again, last week I threw out the term Protectin. Now, Protectin is a little bit of an advanced formulation, And in a conversation with Dr. Stein this week, she explained to me some of the deeper science in her research. And this is a pretty simple formula. Fosident is a calcium carbonate, sodium bicarbonate, vitamin B6, and cyclodextrin. Now, cyclodextrin is a prebiotic. So cyclodextrin feeds bacteria, even the bad guys. So sometimes prebiotics aren't right because you have a population of bacteria, and people take probiotics and then they add a prebiotic. But if they've not shifted the colony of organisms in a good way, they're also feeding some of the bad guys. So in a probiotic world, we're trying to get people to control their dysbiosis, which is the ratio of good to bad bacteria, in a good way, so that when they do a prebiotic, they're feeding the good guys. And similar in this world, that so cyclodextrin being a prebiotic, that's really the grounds that she's standing on. This is a prebiotic for inside your mouth. Well, you just said that we need to make sure that we're not feeding the bad guys. One of the things that she discovered is the amino acid arginine is critical in making sure that the bad guys are dying off. And why isn't arginine in this? What I learned from her this week is her simple combination in this advanced gum health product, the bacteria that die off put out arginine. And so they're making arginine that destroys themselves. So they're literally committing suicide. That's apoptosis. That is bad cells dying off internally. So to me, that's amazing. If you use 2 to 4 of these a day after meals, every time it's in your mouth, these bacteria are self-destructing just because of the mechanism of action of what she's patented. It's kind of unlike anything that I've ever seen.
So that methodology, if you're thinking about it, so it comes in a pill form, but it's not a pill. You don't swallow it.
Right.
It's a mint.
Yeah.
Probably the best way to describe it is like popping an Altoid.
Yeah. We got them on Friday, and I busted open the box and started taking them myself, and they take a couple minutes to dissolve. Pretty, very pleasant.
So now you mentioned the after, because one of the things on the label is after brushing. So, because you mentioned that your population of bacteria, your colony of bacteria, right about back to where you started by the time you walk out of the house in the morning after you brushed your teeth a little bit ago. And that's why this says after brushing as well. So you could take these anytime.
You can use them anytime. I would suggest that people that are suffering from halitosis or bad breath probably use them as often as they need until they get that under control. Here's a couple of clinical study results from her. And it was data that it was accumulated in 2019 when she was doing her research at Stanford. 70 of those patients that used the Fosident lozenges on a regular basis, 76% showed a significant improvement in gum health. 100% showed a significant decrease in the bacteria that science is linking to gum disease and Alzheimer's. 100% of the bacteria in the mouth that are linked to one of the causes of Alzheimer's are destroyed by these lozenges. And 82% of the population showed a significant reduction in bacteria caused by bad breath.
Okay, my wife says I'm forgetful, so I'm going to need a bigger bottle.
You're going to need. I think one of her websites has a 400 lozenge bottle. So it could be done.
But when you're looking at big picture, this is such a little fix to such a big issue.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is incredibly amazing. And the more I talk to her, the more I understand her mindset and, how do we attack this biofilm and these bacteria? Because we're not very good at it to date. So we've had them since Monday in the store. They're not even out on the shelf, to be honest with you. But I've had I've had four people in where we're assessing that part of their problem is their oral health and the buildup of biofilm. One of our regulars is suffering tremendously from chronic candida and yeast. And if he eats a simple food, you know, a sugar or has a beer, his sinuses are so inflamed that he gets so much pressure. And in conversation with him, and he said, you know, my wife tells me my breath is awful. And in conversation with him, we kind of thought that maybe the origination of his sinus problems is starting in his mouth. Now, it'll be interesting because he's going to do four or five of these a day. It's going to be interesting to see down the road if that actually is true. You know, we're theorizing, but he's been every place. He's tried everything. So I think for our overall health, it's one of the things that there are some things I think everybody should do. Probiotics, fish oils, get your vitamin D checked. This now comes right up to the top of the list for me.
Advanced Gum Health promotes healthy gums and teeth. It's a mint, but it's also how the astronauts brush their teeth. It's pretty amazing stuff. We're talking with Kevin Overlander, Dakota Pharmacy, Dakota Natural Health Center, downtown Bismarck's Corner Drugstore. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Don't miss a minute. Hannity Show.
I know that there is a segment of society that would love a perpetual shutdown, and I guess we can live in a bubble, but who's going to build the bubble if everybody shuts down?
Weekday afternoon starting at 2 on Super Talk 1270. Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, you're tuned to Talk to Town. I'm Steve Bike, along with Kevin Overlander, Dakota Pharmacy, Dakota Natural Health Center, downtown Bismarck's Corner Drugstore. And we're talking about the oral health, and we're going to transition a little bit. But I do want to remind me, because we need to talk about at the end, your YouTube channel. I went through and went back on some of the episodes. Fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
Now, there's going to be a YouTube with a video with the oral health.
Yep.
Are you going to get an astronaut to
maybe an asshole.
Live from the International Space Station?
Maybe NASA will let me talk to him.
One of the other things, and we've talked about this a little bit because it's in the news, it's out there in the public, not always used correctly, but semaglutides.
Yeah.
And kind of a be-all, end-all for the latest. And I'm going to say this carefully because it's not what it was invented for, but dieting has been a fad or a craze. It's the next best thing forever.
Yeah.
Is this that? And I have a little fear about that because you and I have talked about, okay, well, people just go, hey, take a shot and I can drop 20 pounds. I can drop 50 pounds. This is a diabetes medication originally that has some side effects, some good, and we've talked about some that are bad. So you have to be careful with it.
Yeah.
Now, is it a way to maybe get a jump start or in addition to, but you got to make the lifestyle changes, and we've talked about that a lot, or if you're using this as weight loss, it's just going to come back. And
yeah,
it's probably going to come back worse, and you're going to have some other, you know, bone loss, muscle loss on top of that, which could put you in a worse position than when you started. So we have to be very careful about how we discuss or how, as part of a triad of health, how people utilize the different tools that are out there.
Yeah. So a couple of weeks ago, we had one of our pharmacists, Jeff Gorder, in who he's an athlete. He's fit. He has a very strict regimen of.
He's one of those single digit body fat
guys.
Yeah.
And so, but he's very knowledgeable about things like this. I'd encourage you to go back to one of the Talk of the Town episodes where we did a real deep dive on these GLP-1 peptides for weight loss.
And you pulled all these up off the podcast.
Off the podcast, or you can go to our website. There's a Talk of the Town tab on there.
Your website and the website, your website is great because you've got those and, like I mentioned, that YouTube channel. So
yeah,
you can there's a lot of information out there.
Yeah, we call our YouTube channel Serenity University. So in association with our supplemental line of Dakota Serenity Nutrition, Serenity University is our education piece. And that's really what we're trying to achieve with YouTube is education. Much like the things we talked about with the Fosident lozenges, there'll be a lengthy video done on just that, so people can go there to refresh what we talked about. Same with the GLP-1s. We did a video with nurse practitioner Mick Peterson, who rents space in our building. Him and I just had a conversation about this, what he's seeing, some of the pitfalls and some of the things that he's trying to get his patients to engage in to make sure that these things are safe. We just don't know the long-term effect of something like semaglutide or a GLP-1 peptide on the body long-term if you're not a diabetic. So they're used in diabetics because it does decrease their risk of things like heart disease and kidney problems. It's very
effective.
You have
to weigh the benefits for anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay, you're diabetic, you're morbidly obese, but, you know, is the cure worse than...
Yeah.
But, hey, you're not going to potentially have heart disease on top of everything else. So you have to weigh out, and that's where talking to your medical provider is very important.
It is.
Why you're part of that triad of care. It's like, okay, what are my concerns?
Yep.
And, hey, I got a history of heart disease in my family. So on top of this, it's more beneficial for me to drop 30 pounds than it is to worry about something else.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a balancing act.
There's
a juggling.
There is. And I think if these medications are used properly in the right person for the right reason, they can be extremely beneficial to somebody's overall health. And the problem that we're seeing is when these drugs slow down your GI emptying, so you have a feel of fullness long term, so you don't eat as much. But like Jeff and I talked about, if you're using empty calories and you get full quicker and you're not getting high quality foods, you're not doing yourself any favors. So we've really started to roll out a program with a different delivery system that we did talk about. We're providing practitioners with a customized form with dosages, and this is actually a sublingual compound that we're doing, and that means it's put into the mouth, it's held for 90 seconds to a couple minutes, it's absorbed through the tissues in the mouth, which is pretty difficult to do because the peptide molecules are large. We call them chubby molecules. But the company that developed the base that we're using has proven they can diffuse the peptide through the tissues in the mouth really more efficiently than if it's swallowed. Because there's some tablet forms of these drugs, and they're very, very... The bioavailability, which means from your GI tract into your blood system, is really, really small.
Well, and you and I have talked about less is more sometimes.
Yes.
So the ability to have because right now, for most people, it's you get a shot once a week or whatever
right.
that regimen looks like. But quite often, if you're getting a shot and if it's into fatty tissue anyway, you're going to wind up having to get a bigger dose to get results. So you and I have talked about less is more a lot.
Yeah.
And a better delivery system, a oral delivery system, can potentially allow smaller dosing for better results.
That's our hope, because we really don't know. This is really all new. There's a group of us compounding pharmacists. We're getting together once a week, every other week, just to trade case studies, get some ideas on dosing. One of the problems, I think, without good guidance, and go to the website and just Google semaglutide. You're going to see places to get this stuff all over the world. And it's delivered to your home. And without good guidance, we're seeing that even the prescribers are pushing the dosages to the maximum that really jumpstarts your ability to lose weight, because that's their goal. As an internet provider, they want you to lose weight. So they're going to push the limits to make sure that you do, because you're going to be satisfied until you get sick. And one of the main side effects of these medications, and even for diabetics, is nausea. One of the pharmacists that's on our team that are meeting, they're compounding an injectable semaglutide, and they're trying to transition people into these sublingual dosage forms. Because Chris says every single patient that injects these drugs get nauseous. And that's the slowing down of your gastric emptying time.
Well, and a lot of that, in my mind, comes back to the dosing and such large dosing. It's you dose to you get those side effects and the nausea, and then back it off a little bit. That's kind of what the protocol is right now.
We should be. But that's not always what's being done.
It's not always what's being done. Yeah. We're talking with Kevin Oberlander, Dakota Pharmacy, Dakota Natural Health Center, downtown Bismarck's Corner Drugstore. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk.
Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, you're tuned to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bach, along with Kevin Oberlander, Dakota Pharmacy, Dakota Natural Health Center, downtown Bismarck's Corner Drugstore. We're talking about semaglutides and how the diabetes medication has turned into a weight loss quick fix, I guess.
We'll call it a quick fix. It can happen fast.
Again, this comes back to dosing, though, and there's some concerns about
A lot of concerns. And what happens after? Or do people have to use these medications, you know, for life? They're expensive. Sometimes insurance doesn't pay for them. FDA is approving a couple forms of these medications for weight loss. There's actually a lot of research.
Specifically for weight loss, not for the diabetes side of this.
And so as I mentioned in our show a couple of weeks ago, our hope is the industry is really doing diligence on dosing for weight loss, not just transitioning a drug from one indication to another without doing a deep dive on what's best for the patient. So we're seeing people do these injections once a week. Sometimes they're pushing that a little bit so they get more rapid weight loss. I really believe that's a problem. And without the lifestyle changes, they're just really not doing themselves any favors. So one of our goals with the sublingual form is backing off on the dosing, going slower. And I know that's a hard thing for people when somebody else they know is doing an injectable and just dropping weight like crazy. But I've never felt that rapid weight loss is a good thing anyway. Muscle's heavier than fat, so we can initiate the loss of muscle mass before we start to lose that fat. That's not what we want, because good muscle, lean muscle burns a lot more efficiently. So that balance needs to be in place. So we're putting together information for patients that helps them in their food choices. We're not dietitians, but I think we have some pretty sound data. Especially with Jeff in the pharmacy on things like how much protein and the percentages of proteins, the carbs to fats. These injections are anywhere from a half a milligram to a milligram at a time. So with our sublingual dosing, we're recommending a quarter of a milligram to start. And again, this is put in the mouth and absorbed through the tissues in the mouth into your system. And that's not as efficient as an injection. So, and we're recommending twice a week. This is a slow process. We've developed a customized form for practitioners with four dosage recommendations, recommending they start at the lower end and gradually increase that. We're talking to patients ad nauseum about the first dose, because we don't know for sure. The first dose may not let you lose weight, but we want to make sure that you don't, you know, get any side effects. One of the things our pharmacy team is really preaching to each other is don't ignore the side effects. If you have a patient that's getting nauseous, don't ignore it. That could be the start of a side effect that you don't want the patient to have to deal with. So we're recommending a twice a week, then to a three times a week, and then slowly increasing the amount that you use to half of a milligram twice a week, up to a half of a milligram three times a week. Again, that's in the mouth, held for 90 seconds to 120 seconds, and then swallowed. But the majority of it, we're hoping, is absorbed through the tissues in the mouth.
You know, you go back to the science of this, and one of the things I'm always a little cognizant of is how long it takes for results to come in so that you're not seeing damage in other ways.
Yeah.
And this is so brand new, and people just jump on, especially a weight loss, hey, take the magic pill. Which right now it's a magic injection, but you're working on the magic pill or the oral dosing of this. And again, what makes the most sense to you? And you have to have that conversation with your provider.
Right. And so many people in the country and even the world they're logging into these websites. They answer a few questions and then they get a shipment of an injectable drug without that triad of care being in place. And I think that's the rocky road. And our goal is really to make sure that your provider and our pharmacy staff are part of the team that can help educate you. So again, Jeff is, he knows this stuff. We put together a little bit of a guide on how much, because protein is so important. Again, if you're eating simple carbohydrates and you're not hungry, suddenly you're full and you have not had any quality. You have not had any protein. So in Jeff's world, he says we should be ingesting 0.7 to 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. And that's a lot of protein.
And all proteins are not the same.
That's right.
That's the other part of this, and I think people forget. All proteins are, just because you buy a tub of protein off the shelf, doesn't mean it's good protein.
Right.
Because the fillers that are in there, too much sugar.
Sugars.
The type of protein, it all plays into, are you getting the proper protein and the proper supplement for what you're putting your body through? And I had a friend of mine, and she never referred to food as food. It was fuel.
Yeah.
And how you fuel your body and your system.
Very,
in your
very
body.
True.
And it's very,
very
true.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, some of the nutrients associated with that. B vitamins turn your food into fuel. So if you're going to do a smoothie, using a protein that has some nutrients, maybe some amino acids, some fibers, because two of the most important things in this semaglutide world are adequate protein and adequate fiber. And third is hydration. Because if we're going to slow down the gastric emptying time, we have to make sure that we don't stop the gastric emptying time. So we need adequate fibers. Your fiber servings need to be often and small, so we don't cause a blockage. But those are all things that we're really gearing up to help patients make those decisions.
Again, a lot of this information on your YouTube channel,
yep.
Serenity University.
Yep.
A lot of things are on there. If you want to find out about the lozenges, you want to find out about
methylene blue.
Methylene blue.
Yep.
So many different things we've talked about and so many things you've been working with as a compounding pharmacist. There's a lot of information out there. That would be a good place, I would say, most people should start, is go to your website,
yep.
Watch some of these videos, and then reach out to you guys directly.
Exactly. So go to our website. In the upper left corner, there's a bar with Facebook, YouTube, and some of the landing sites. If you click on the YouTube channel icon, it takes you to the YouTube channel, and it drops you into what are shorts. And so these are, you know, 1 minute introductory, what to watch for. Just move one to the right and click on videos, and that gives you the 8 or 9 minute videos that we've posted that are really deep dive on the education on a lot of the things we're doing. So if you have a few minutes, that's where I would go. And we can see the view times when we do analytics. People are watching some of these for the length of the video, which is kind of unusual in our world nowadays. So we're pretty pleased.
Just a piece of it, though, because after you watch those videos, after you do your homework, your research, reach out to Dakota Pharmacy and Dakota Natural Health Center.
Yep, exactly. We're at 705 East Main in downtown Bismarck.
Kevin Oberlander, Dakota Pharmacy, Dakota Natural Health Center, downtown Bismarck's corner drugstore. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Talk of the Town, weekday morning starting at 9 on Super Talk 1270 and the free Super Talk 1270 mobile app. Is Mark Mandan, Super Talk 1270. Portions of the following program are pre-recorded. Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, you're tuned to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bakken and Ann Ersley joining us. She is a physician assistant, OBGYN, with Essentia Health. And Ann, thanks for coming in this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Make sure that we let people know that you're local and not kind of by choice. Tell us a little bit about yourself. So you work for Essentia Health, but you're from Turtle Lake.
From Turtle Lake.
And I've done a lot of pheasant hunting up there in the day.
Mm-hmm. Lots of pheasants up there. I'm from Turtle Lake. I went to college at Dickinson State and then went to PA school down in Virginia.
Now, you and I were talking a little bit. Part of the reason you went in Virginia because you didn't have any plans on staying in North Dakota.
No plans of coming back. It was a joke, really, in our family, the first one to move away. And here I am, married a cowboy.
I made it out.
Yeah, but I'm back. You can't keep us out, I guess. Married a cowboy, moved back, live the life that I did not think I would live.
So you own a horse trailer and everything, right?
We live in our horse trailer every weekend when we're going to rodeos, and I have three boys.
You know, it's funny because I remember growing up in Grand Forks, and it was like, okay, everybody wanted out.
I just want to get out.
And I have traveled all over the country working, and I keep coming home. Mm-hmm. It's just like, and you're a great example. It's like, yep, I'm out. And you keep coming home because it's home. It's just, there's no place like North Dakota.
Right.
So fast forward, now you take your PA skills back to Essentia Health here in Bismarck. Mm-hmm. And you specialize in a segment of OBGYN that actually got a lot of press during the presidential race because of infertility treatments and IVF. And a lot of that was in the news. Explain what IVF is for people and the infertility side, because it tends to be a little bit bigger issue than a lot of people think, and especially as people are waiting a little bit later in life to have families, and that's really where a lot of this treatment comes in.
Yeah, correct. That's probably the biggest cause of the increase in infertility rates, is because people are delaying their childbearing. And there are just many. I feel like we are unaware as a population of all of the things that go into achieving a pregnancy. It's really not as easy as what it seems. The rate of getting pregnant every month is 20%. So if I have 100 women trying to get pregnant each month, 20 will get pregnant, 80 will not. And I think the awareness of that would really help people maybe accept this, learn more about it, and then maybe seek treatment sooner than they do.
And biology is an amazing thing, because if one little thing is off, the odds are not going to happen, because that's what nature does. That's how nature makes sure that we're trying to produce viable, healthy babies. And that's the nature part of that. Something can be a little askew and, nope, not this time around.
And probably 60% of issues can be fixed, and we can do so much locally before people ever get to IVF. So that's just a huge service that we can offer here in Bismarck.
So a lot of groundwork.
A lot of groundwork.
There's a lot of things that need to go into, especially if you're in a little bit older situation. Mm-hmm. The nutrition side is huge, mm-hmm. different supplements, lifestyle choices.
Lifestyle is huge.
What are the top factors as far as leading into infertility? So whether it's let's stick with the older right now. So okay. Somebody that's a little bit older in life, you know, maybe they delayed because of their career, mm-hmm. didn't get married till a little bit later. Mm-hmm. They push things off and okay, now it's time. I want to have a baby, but I'm 40. I'm early 40s. I'm mid 40s. Mm-hmm. I know people that have gone through and 50s. They've had babies, which God bless them all, but not really the wheelhouse for a normal pregnancy.
Right. Unfortunately, as we age, especially for women, our egg quality and egg reserve, the number of eggs that we have, dramatically decreases. So your chances of naturally getting pregnant after 40 are very low, probably 5%.
And that's where you typically need a little assistance.
That is. We actually see a large number of women much earlier than that. And so at 40, we feel like we're on a time crunch. And almost always those women are getting referred to IVF or to reproductive endocrinology.
From a medical perspective, is there a hard stop or a timeline where probably not the best idea or not in your best interest? Or just does it depend on... How's your health?
You know, so many factors.
Yeah.
So many factors. And we always want to help the patient make the best choice for themselves. You know, I may think at 45, your ovarian reserve is very low and your chances of success are very low. Your chances of heartache and miscarriage and things like that are higher. And of course, I like to protect people from that disappointment as well. But we want to offer them every opportunity to achieve a pregnancy that we can.
So what are some of the other factors with lack of ability to get pregnant? So we talked a little bit about the age stuff on the women's mm-hmm. side, but there's stuff on the men's side, there's stuff on the women's side. Mm-hmm. As far as factors earlier, before you start getting the higher age, what are some of the leading factors for complicating the ability to get pregnant?
So the most common thing that we see is ovulatory dysfunction. One cause of that is polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is becoming more common as far as recognition of that. And if you don't ovulate correctly, you can't get pregnant. So that will present in irregular periods, maybe lack of periods altogether. And that's something that's very easily managed. So
we think about that a lot with athletes, mm-hmm. female athletes, that throw their cycles off because of their training and their athletic prowess, because mm-hmm. it does throw the system off. And I'm a big believer in everything works in equilibrium. And if something's mm-hmm. off over here because you're training for a specific, that might throw something. We see that with long distance runners quite a bit.
Yep, because they often will have no cycle at all. Partly due to the fact that they have no body fat. And so we see that spectrum. And then we see obesity as a major cause of ovulatory dysfunction as well. So I think that's the most important thing to recognize is everything in moderation, lifestyle modifications, diet, smoking, vaping, excess caffeine, excess alcohol. That affects both egg and sperm quality.
So when we come back from the break, I want to talk a little bit about the guy's side, because mm-hmm. we've just kind of covered lightly on an overview on the female side of trying to get pregnant. But there's a lot of male issues that come into play as well. We're talking with Ann Ersley. She's a PA, physician assistant, OBGYN, specializing in infertility at Essentia Health. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
No. Super Talk. Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, you're tuned to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bakken along with Ann Ersley. She is a physician assistant, a PA, specializing in OBGYN and infertility at Essentia Health. And we talked about the women's side, at least lightly. We'll get more into that. But what are some of the typical issues on the male side with trying to get pregnant?
So male infertility is... responsible for probably 30 to 40% of issues with couples. And I would say lifestyle is the biggest contributor. So caffeine and alcohol and vaping or nicotine smoking decreases sperm count and sperm motility. And just in my 20 years of practice, have seen a significant increase in male infertility. And I think that's why.
Because we don't typically think about male infertility. Correct. We think about female infertility. Mm-hmm. But yep. What was that number? 30 to 40%. 40%. Mm-hmm. That is such a huge number and something we don't think about.
Right. And so with our initial workups, of course, we do labs and evaluation of the female, but we absolutely always do a semen analysis because that's such a large contributing factor.
So what are some of the causes beside those?
So lifestyle certainly has a huge impact.
You didn't mention riding a horse too much.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. There's no studies that back that up.
For all of our horse friends out there, the cowboys.
Although I do wonder.
Just making sure there.
There may be a little trauma there.
Okay. Trauma is another example, though, because... Mm-hmm. And so I went through cancer treatments, and one of the things that, hey, do you plan on having children? And my wife and I were like, well, yeah, we'd like to. Mm-hmm. So I had to go, before I started radiation, store some sperm.
Because chemotherapy, trauma, hernia surgeries.
Radiation, depending on where it's at.
Other anatomical abnormalities all can affect sperm production.
So that is just a huge number to me, 30 to 40% mm-hmm. on the male side. And you just don't think about that.
Right. So everywhere you read, there'll be this calculation. So 30% of infertility is female only, 30% male only, 30% a combo, and then 10 unexplained. So it is.
So if you're taking 100% mm-hmm. and then now you take 30% and 30%, mm-hmm. it's hard to get pregnant.
It is. It's amazing that people get pregnant on their own, especially unintended.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is, okay, I'm learning a lot here. So when you're talking about the infertility side, because you mentioned both, mm-hmm. When somebody's planning on starting a family, how important it is that they go see a infertility specialist or a fertility specialist to make sure that, okay, everything's normal, because you could try for a long time and mm-hmm. not be able to start a family. And we talk a lot these days about the mental health aspect, and that can grate on a relationship mm-hmm. huge.
Huge. Yeah, I feel like it's probably one of the leading causes of divorce because it's such an emotional thing.
That and finances, all right.
Yes, and men and women process things different. And it's a really difficult thing. We have a few counselors that specialize in infertility, and we refer our patients to them because it is just such an emotionally draining thing. So we say that if you have been trying for over a year and you're not pregnant, then you need to come in. There may be some very easy things that we can correct without even needing to go on with medications or inseminations or things like that. But over a year with unprotected intercourse and no pregnancy, they should come in. They should not continue to wait and try on their own. Now, if you're 35 or older, 6 months, and then they should come in because our time clock is ticking and we want to get that evaluation done sooner.
A little bit of a misconception is, so we think about the clock with females. Mm-hmm. Is there a clock with males?
There is. So the infertility
rate. Because now we're talking motility mm-hmm. and deformation. And there's a lot of other factors
that go into that.
Yeah.
And so they say at 50, we're going to see a decrease in that sperm quality. But studies show over 40, there may be some genetic things that are showing up more. Your risk of fathering a baby with autism increases. And then as we age, we have more medical problems or gain weight. Maybe we're picking up even more bad habits. And that obviously affects sperm quality as well.
We're talking infertility with Ann Ersley, PA at Essentia Health. And the goal is to have a healthy pregnancy and a healthy baby, because a lot of these other factors, you mentioned the autism. There's a myriad of other health issues that can pop up if you're not managing that from the beginning to make sure it's a healthy pregnancy to start with. One of my questions is, over time, what have we seen? I look at a lot of different environmental factors, and, mm-hmm. and lifestyles have changed from back in the 50s to the 60s to the 70s, 80s, 90s to today. Big change in lifestyle. Correct. Big change in outside factors. Mm-hmm. What have we seen over time when it comes to infertility numbers?
So infertility is increasing for a number of reasons. That's probably one of them. Of course, we don't have hard studies regarding some of the plastics.
I blame a lot of stuff on preservatives.
Right,
I
the
really
preservatives,
do.
The things that are in our foods.
Processed food.
And we're eating processed foods more than we ever used to. So we just really try to encourage, let's have a wholesome, healthy lifestyle. That's good for your body in every single way, not just in regards to fertility.
So what should you tell a young couple in their 20s versus the message for a couple in their 30s versus the message for a couple in their 40s? What's the initial message that you want them to know?
So first is have a healthy body. So even if you haven't even started to try for pregnancy yet, just have a healthy body.
Starts with diet.
Starts with diet.
Diet, lifestyle.
Cook at home. Limit your caffeine to 200 milligrams a day or less. Alcohol in moderation. No smoking or vaping. Again, that affects sperm and egg quality, but also your entire well-being. Maintain a healthy weight. Weight has an impact, again, on both egg and sperm quality. Regular exercise. And then if it has been a year, if you're under 35, or 6 months, if you're over 35 and you haven't achieved a pregnancy, don't wait. Come in. Let us help you figure out what's going on.
We're talking with Ann Ersley, PA at Essentia Health. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
To Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, your team to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bakken along with Ann Ersley, physician assistant, PA at OBGYN at Essentia Health, focusing on infertility this morning. And okay, you're doing everything right. You're having a healthy lifestyle, enjoying things in moderation, working out, eating properly. Nutrition is huge. And that's why, you know, neonatal supplements are a big part of, you know, there's a lot of foundation you have to lay. But it's not working. What are some of the signs or symptoms that there could be a problem? Because a lot of people, we don't go, especially in the upper Midwest. It's like, something's not right, but I'll tough it out. We're not going to go to the doctor. I'm a huge proponent of the triad of care. You need to be your best advocate because you're the one that needs to. I always look at physicians as a little bit of detective work. Mm-hmm. And you need to put them on the right track mm-hmm. to figure out what's going on with your health. So you need to be your biggest advocate. So what are some of the signs and symptoms men and women should look for that, you know, there might be a problem, there might be an issue, there might be something going on that's going to lead into infertility if that's what you're trying to accomplish at the time? But, you know, a lot of this comes back to some general health stuff. I mean, giving yourself exams and things like that, you know, making sure there's no issues. What are some of the things people need to look for?
So for women, it's actually easier to have outward signs. So if you're having irregular periods or no periods at all, or you're doing ovulation predictor kits and you don't get a positive, you need to come in. You don't have to wait the whole year. You need to come in so we can see what's going on and how we can fix that.
In a lot of cases, it's something minor. Mm-hmm. And something might be just a little bit off because we talked about if everything's not lined up perfectly, you're yep. probably not going to get pregnant. And that's just nature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And some things are very easily fixed. I think there is a fear of they're going to come in and there's this extensive evaluation and a lot of intervention, and it is not necessarily that. For men, it is harder. You know, there's really not any outward signs that your sperm count is low. So for men, we just do that evaluation with the female evaluation right away. But if there are problems with sexual dysfunction or abnormalities of the testicles, those need to be evaluated right away.
Typically, what are the biggest issues if something is a little bit off with men and women?
So with women, it is most commonly polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is ovulation dysfunction.
Because that's a new term that I'm
in the last few years.
Okay, so the question is there a greater prevalence of that, or is it just finally now being discovered and reported better?
Yeah, good question. It probably is that we're just more aware now than we were at the beginning of my career, which I was in just family practice. People didn't talk about that. So we are recognizing it, we are diagnosing it and treating it much more frequently than we did in the past. Obesity, unfortunately, has an impact on dysfunction as well. And we are seeing a rise in our obesity rates, which is increasing infertility.
And on the male side, and I'll use me for an example. It's like, so with my cancer, I self-examined. It was testicular cancer. Mm-hmm. Self-examined, it's like something was a little off. Mm-hmm. And went into my doctor, but I was able to go, okay, this is what I've got going on, and this is the road we need to go down. Because things start with your primary care physician. Mm-hmm. And we were able to track down the direct, okay, that's the issue, solved, fixed, we're good. But again, people need to be able to point their physician in the right direction, because you were in family practice, and how many times did you start down one road because that was the information that was presented to you, and it was something else? Now we're leading into an infertility issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
that happens a lot.
Happens a lot, which is part of the reason we do that comprehensive evaluation when the female comes in, because men are much less willing to just go in on their own. And we have fantastic urologists here in Bismarck, and so they have been excellent at helping evaluate our men and getting them on the right track if there's any intervention that can be done to improve their sperm quality.
So somebody's having an issue, and it starts with their primary care physician, and both men and female side. Mm-hmm. Something's a little off. You go in. How do you put your doctor on the right track to make sure that, okay, if we're trying to get pregnant, if there's an infertility issue, we're going to lead to that quicker than spending time on a rabbit hole that we shouldn't be on?
Sure. I think the biggest thing is at home, you track your cycles, you know, have some awareness of what's going on with your body, track your cycles, do ovulation predictor kits, bring that information in to any of us that work with infertility, and we can get started on the evaluation right
away.
Data's
king. It's like having that journal, having that information, so you go, here's what's going on, mm-hmm. and having that well documented, because that's a real, instead of going through the process like, okay, well, for the next 3 months, mm-hmm. track this, well, you're 3 months ahead.
Yeah, you expedite the process. You help me get an idea of what could be going on, and we just get you to your end goal quicker.
And typically for men, what's that process look like?
So we start with the semen analysis, and sometimes they, you know, we just have to talk about lifestyle modifications. And so the men often come into the appointment with their wife to review that. And we will do the referral if there is a significant decrease in sperm count or motility where we feel like there could be some anatomical things going on or where they could benefit from medication.
So is it a good idea to come in as a couple?
It is. There's a lot of information, and so I always say four ears are best, and it is best for everybody to feel like they're working as a team to get to where that couple wants to be.
And a lot of that comes back to the mental health side, because mm-hmm. the opportunity to strengthen relationship instead of
be alienated from
each
other.
Mm-hmm. Because that's a thing, and it's interesting you mentioned the counselor side of that, but mm-hmm. that's not typically something we've thought about 10 years ago
right.
in the healthcare world if you're talking about infertility.
Yeah, that's true. It's such an emotional subject, and often the female is doing everything, coming in, doing the labs, taking the medicines, doing the ultrasounds, and there's such a disconnect in the stress and the overwhelming emotional aspect for the wife than there is for the husband.
Well, and that's why that 30 to 40% number, the problems on the male side, is such a glaring number to me, because, you know, 10 years ago it was, well, it's your fault.
It's her problem.
It's her fault. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not getting pregnant because it's her fault. And and that was kind of the stigma around infertility at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking with Ann Ersley. She's a PA, physician assistant over at Essentia Health, specializing in infertility. She focuses on OBGYN. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Talk 1270.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270. You're tuned to Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bach, along with Ann Ersley. She's a physician assistant, PA over at Essentia Health, OBGYN, focusing on infertility this morning. And we mentioned IVF earlier, and that's where a lot of people's minds go when you're thinking about infertility treatments. But that's kind of a little bit later in the process. There are other things, other treatments that are out there that are first steps, because the IVF tends to be more invasive, a little bit bigger process, and you may not need that level of help with fertility or infertility. What are some of the walk-up or the other treatment options that are out there?
So many easier things that we can do before you need an IVF referral. Again, the lifestyle modifications can make a huge difference in sperm quality.
Nutrition.
And no vaping.
I don't think people realize vaping, smoking, chewing tobacco, caffeine and nicotine.
Energy drinks and vaping are the demise of sperm.
Are killers.
Yes.
Absolute killers.
Yep. So we just really want to have that conversation to help people be healthier. Women with PCOS, we often start a medication called metformin, which helps improve ovulation, sometimes even helps them ovulate effectively on their own. And if that is not enough, we use a medicine called letrozole that stimulates ovulation, or stimulates the body to produce follicles, and then we can force ovulation on our time frame, so we can time either inseminations or just timed intercourse, and that has been very successful for us.
So I'm thinking, it's like all of our Catholic friends out there, it's kind of the classes that they go through, they teach that as part of premarital counseling, which is good practice.
Yeah, to know what's going on with your body so you can recognize if there's a problem.
So what other treatments are out there before we get to IVF?
So we do the ovulation induction, which is medication, something called Ovidril, which triggers ovulation, and then inseminations, and we can do up to 6 cycles, and if that is not successful, then certainly people are candidates and can be referred for in vitro or at any point if that's just the road that they want to take.
Okay, now let's move on to in vitro fertilization. Mm-hmm. For those that are not familiar with IVF, explain that to our listeners.
So that's a process where the specialist will stimulate your body to produce many eggs. They retrieve them surgically, fertilize them with your partner's sperm, and then transfer into the uterus.
And more of an invasive procedure, so that's why you want to walk up to that. Now, for somebody who one partner, it's just not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other options out there? Because there's sperm donors, there's egg donors, there's a lot of other ways to get pregnant, but you got to walk through that process as a couple.
Absolutely. And to, you know, just come in so you are aware of the options. We do a fair amount of donor IUIs. Some partners have had vasectomies, and we have same-sex couples who just need that sperm to help complete their family. And so we work with sperm banks from all over the country so we can give them those options.
Vasectomies. Are they reversible? Are they not? Some are, some aren't. It kind of depends, right? Because I've known people that have had it reversed because they've gotten married later and then wanted to start a family when they didn't plan on having a family, and because that was a couple's decision. What's the last word on vasectomy?
There are different facilities in the U.S. that you can go for a reversal. Will it be successful?
Don't know.
We don't know until afterwards.
Some do, some don't.
Correct.
And so it a big decision for somebody, though. So what would be the advice if somebody's considering a vasectomy? You know, is that a time to go, okay, maybe I should store some sperm, have some sperm frozen? I know women are maybe on a career path. Women are having their eggs frozen now. Those are all things you need to think of earlier in life.
Yeah, it's sort of a conversation that is new because people didn't think like this before. But you really can say, I want to have my career and not have a baby till I'm 40. And it is best really in your 20s to get set up with...
That would be the time to be harvested. And
with
having
a facility to, to store both your eggs or sperm, whichever.
So is that something you guys...
We can help facilitate that.
Through that process?
Yep. We can be the people that give you all the information and get you to the right place.
So, and that's we talk about couples a lot, but that's a single decision.
That's an individual decision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking about that, and both from a health perspective, on the male side or the female side, it's better in your 20s.
20s. Yes. Your eggs and sperm are at their peak in your 20s.
And they can store those in a facility frozen forever. So a lot of information out there. If somebody wants more information, wants to reach out to your department or you specifically and get more information, how do they do that?
Well, either online or you can give us a call at Essentia Mid-Dakota Center for Women. We have multiple physicians and myself at our clinic that can get you started on the evaluation and process.
Okay, the one thing we haven't touched on is the Center for Women with Essentia. You guys are part of that with the infertility side of stuff. That is such a huge asset for our community because the focus is on women's health and all aspects of women's health.
Yes, it's a wonderful facility. It's kind of a one-stop shop. You can come in for your general medical care, your infertility questions, your menopausal care. We have lab and ultrasound and mammogram all on site. So we just can make it one place for a woman to have her complete care.
A lot going on over at Essentia Health. Once again, what's the website or how do people get a hold of you or your department?
So EssentiaHealth.org, or you can give us a call at the main number, 712-4000. And we, again, have multiple physicians and myself who can get you started on the process.
Ann, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Ann Ersley, she's a physician's assistant, PA, over at Essentia Health, working in OBGYN, specifically in infertility. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out. And, the thing people don't think about is planning for, hey, what happens when I'm in my 40s and I want to start a family then. That's a thing you need to think about when you're in your 20s. It really is. So, and of course, all those lifestyle changes, be healthy, make
be
good
healthy.
Decisions because it does pay dividends later when you want to start a family. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Talk of the Town, weekday morning starting at 9 on Super Talk 1270 and the free Super Talk 1270 mobile app.